Joined now by a very special guest, Josh Eilert, Osborne, Kansas native, who is now an assistant coach under Bob Huggins with the West Virginia men's basketball program. We've had Josh on a couple times the previous couple of seasons, and Josh getting lots of FaceTime the other night on the bench, getting his TV look on as West Virginia knocks off KU the other night, 85-69. Josh, how you been, man?
I'm doing good, Wade. How are you?
I am doing great. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us. I know a lot of people follow you here in North Central Kansas, and I'm sure they also contact you when you're in town for a K-State KU game, seeing if you can perhaps hook them up with tickets. I'm sure that's never happened to you at all. But you guys made it to K-State. Tough loss, but you guys bounced back and beat KU on Tuesday. How important was that win for you guys after a two-game losing streak?
It was a breath of fresh air, considering what we had coming, you know, and we got Texas A&M coming this weekend and going to Hilton Coliseum on Tuesday. So you lose that, you go three game slide, you know, the confidence starts taking a hit. So we had to get it. It was a must win for us.
Let's go back to the K-State game. That was kind of a roller coaster game. You guys had a nice lead and then fell behind, got ahead again. They got ahead. Next thing you know, it's a barn burner at the end. And I know Coach Huggins, of course, you and Coach Huggins have been there at K-State, and you went to K-State. And he was talking about the crowd and the atmosphere. What was that like for you guys there at Manhattan this past weekend?
Well, we talked about it, me and Coach Huggs, because, you know, we've been a part of it, and we see the passion of those fans out there. We even talked about bringing our Mountaineer Maniacs, the head of our student group, out to see it maybe next year, because they need to understand just how great those Kansas State fans are and how much they influence the game.
How does that what goes through your mind when you come back to Kansas, whether you go to Allen Fieldhouse, which you'll do later this year, but specifically when you come back to Manhattan? Because I know you've had lots of good memories there, and now you're the enemy coming in, but yet you and Coach Huggs and the program, I think, is respected by the K-State faithful.
Well, it's special for me to come back, you know, just to see family, see my dad, see my brothers and nephews and whatnot. It's really special, but you got to put that aside when it's time, you know, it's game time, and you know, be focused and be prepared. And you know, that atmosphere out there, I mean, it's second to none really in the Big 12, and it's special to hear your alma mater and Wabash Cannonball and all that. But you got to figure out a way to win the game, and we didn't.
You've moved up on the totem pole there at West Virginia. Explain to people what you what your title was and what it is now.
Well, my title, it's coordinator of basketball operations, and I do a lot of the film work still and the scouting of our opponents and preparation for what we're going to see day in and day out in our league and in our non-conference and whatnot, and a lot of our film work in terms of our self-scout. But Coach Ronnie Everhart went out in early November, struggled with his back pain and whatnot. And he just recently had surgery about 3-4 weeks ago. So I've been in that position since late November as an assistant coach. And it gave me the opportunity to be on the floor, be able to be vocal, do scouts, be on the road recruiting. So it's been a great opportunity for me.
We're talking to Josh Eilert. He is with us, part of the West Virginia coaching staff under Bob Huggins. West Virginia coming off a big win against Kansas on Tuesday. Why do you guys seem to have the most success against Kansas, obviously on your home floor? Four straight years you've knocked off the Jayhawks, and they're usually very high-ranked when you play them, and it doesn't seem to matter whether you're on a winning streak going into that game, or in this case you lost two in a row. And you got up, and you guys always get up for KU. Most teams do, because they are the team to knock off atop the perch of the Big 12. But why do you think you guys have had more success against KU as a whole than other teams in the Big 12?
Our guys play with, I think, a sense of swagger or confidence. It filters down from our head coach. We're not scared of anybody, and we never have been. There are teams that are, you know, in the past have been better than us, but we're going to go toe-to-toe with anybody that comes in here, and especially in Morgantown. You know, we like to say, you know, we're not scared to go on the road and play either. But, you know, Kansas, they're a great program. We've had our struggles in Lawrence. We still haven't got over that hump. But it's become, you know, a hard place to play for them. It's probably their hardest place to play, you know, based on the fact of the travel. They're coming across the country in a different time zone, and we do that each night we go on the road.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was interesting. I was watching after you guys won the game that there was no court storming. I saw more security out there. There's a few fans that got out on the floor. And was that something that was passed down from Coach Huggins and others as to, hey, you know, let's act like we've been here. I mean, we've beaten KU 3 straight years at home. We don't have to act like this is something that's abnormal because we've beaten KU on a regular basis the last 4 years.
I think it had a lot to do this time with the fact that, you know, they stormed the court when we beat Baylor when they were number one coming here a couple weeks ago. We were vocal. Coach Huggins was vocal about the fact that, you know, there is no need for a court storming. You know, we were favorites to win the game.
Yeah.
We were favorites to win the game against Kansas as well. So, I mean, our fans are passionate. You know, they get into it, and that's all good and great. But, yeah, just like you said, act like you've been here before. We have beat KU before. We beat them 4 straight times here in Morgantown. So maybe the fact that, you know, that has been voiced after the Baylor game, maybe that had a lot to do with the fact that, you know, let's act like we've been here. But it was special to, you know, beat 1 and 2 in the same season. And we had an opportunity last year, but lost to Oklahoma at a tip-in in Norman.
I always look at court storming as I think it's neat for the fans, but at the same time, when there is a court storming, it means to me that the fan base didn't believe you could win or didn't think you would win. And in this case, as you said, you were a favorite in that game, and you were a favorite against KU as well. So court storming, I know, is kind of an issue across the country. People talk about it. I'm all for the enthusiasm of the fans, but at the same time, it's almost like a slam to you guys if the fans come out there and do that. Does that make sense? I know that seems like a bit of a stretch, but I've heard the you know like the overrated chant. I can't stand that one. Like if you're at home and you're beating a team, let's say you're beating KU, and somebody starts chanting overrated to KU or K-State or whoever you're playing, it really what they should be chanting, Josh, to me, is underrated because you guys should be ranked higher.
Absolutely. I mean, it just waters down your victory, honestly, if you start chanting that. And I don't think our fans ever did that, but I tell you what, you know, what do you do? I mean, you're on the coaching side of things. You just
sure.
Try to do your part and get the win. If our fans are passionate and they want to storm the court, I mean, at the end of the day, what do you do?
Yeah, can't really do too much other than what you said. You just get it out there and say, hey, and we're supposed to be in this situation. We should be winning these games. Josh Eilert is our guest on the Sports Ticket brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. One more thing about the KU game. I don't want you to share any deep secret information, and I know you probably wouldn't anyway, even if I've asked you that. But the approach going into the KU game, because I think we have Brian Haney on, the voice of the Jayhawks, every Thursday. We had him on yesterday, and every team that I've watched this year has – there's no dominant team in college basketball. Every team has a flaw or flaws. And certainly one of the weaknesses for KU this year has been a lack of a shot blocker, rim protector, and then they lack depth, and now it's even further lack of depth with Bragg being suspended, announced last night. But then also, when you don't have to worry about shot blocker when you're on offense against an opposing team, it makes it a little bit easier for you, doesn't it, Josh? Because if you can beat your man off the dribble, then you know you can get all the way to the rack and lay it up.
There's no doubt. I mean, I think about, and I've told the guys around here, the best KU teams I've ever seen. And, you know, even though KU is number two in the country, but the best ones I've seen over the years is they've had a dominant shot blocker, somebody that can change the game at the rim. And they don't have that this year. You're right, they lack depth. But, you know, we knew they don't have somebody there to change shots at the rim. So we told our guys, any chance, opportunity we have, let's put some pressure on the rim. But we did change a lot of things defensively to, more importantly, to try to figure out a way to come away with the victory and backed off the press a little bit, maybe, you know, change things in the half court to keep them from getting driving angles because they are so good at getting into the paint and hitting open, either getting to the rim or hitting those open shots.
West Virginia men's basketball team, 16-4 overall, 5-3 in the Big 12. tied for third in the Big 12 at Iowa State, coming off a big win over Kansas earlier this week. When everybody goes out and recruits, what's the recruiting philosophy at West Virginia? Because every coach, head coach, has a different philosophy in regards to the type of system they're going to run offensively and defensively. We've heard press Virginia. You guys do have a unique style. Does that help you in recruiting, finding guys like that because you know they fit your system better than others, or could that be a bit of a challenge?
I think it works both ways. Some guys embrace it and they want to be a part of it, and they are hardworking guys with a chip on their shoulder. And a lot of times we look for guys like that, guys that have a chip on their shoulder. And we're not going to get the marquee McDonald's All-Americans. We just don't. That's just the way it is, and we understand that. So we got to find those hard-nosed guys that want to play, and they want to grind it out, and they have a chip on their shoulder, and they want to prove something. And that's, throughout the years, those are the guys we've been most successful with.
You have a matchup against Texas A&M coming up on Saturday. I've heard a lot of coaches not exactly thrilled with having a non-conference game right in the middle of your conference season. How does Coach Huggins feel about that?
Publicly, I mean, he's going to say, you know, it's all about the TV ratings, all about the exposure, and that's why they did it. At the end of the day, he would rather have it in December.
Sure.
The way it's been in the past. You know, prior to last year. For me, I think it's crazy for our league to do it. I think more than anything, Kansas gets all the publicity. Kansas-Kentucky matchup is what you always hear about, and rightfully so. It's a great matchup. But for the long term of the league and going into the dog days of the season, if you can have a week off where you go Saturday, and you can get those legs back, I think that's, you know, incredibly important, and that's what they took away.
Do you prepare for Texas A&M differently because it is a non-conference game coming up on Saturday? Because the reason I ask that is you guys more than likely will be in the tournament and you'll be a pretty good seed. Although a win against A&M at home, I don't know how much that would help you when it comes to the seeding and when it comes out. Many people talk about KU Kentucky. You're really not going to have much of an impact there because KU and Kentucky are going to easily be in the tournament. They might both be number one seeds. But for a K-State team going to Tennessee, that's probably a bigger game for K-State than some of the other Big 12 teams in the conference because that's a chance for K-State to get a quality road win against a team that just upset Kentucky. How do you guys look at that?
We don't really look at it any different. We prepare the same way, just like it was a league opponent. But at the end of the day, we talk to our guys, you know, each and every film session. We have a board with all the RPI and our losses and how they affect our RPI and all that. So if you drop a game like that, you could drop a seed in a tournament because at the end of the day, RPI, strength of schedule, all that goes into how they seed everything, and one loss like that can affect your seed. And we talk to these guys each and every day about how important those seeds are. Between a 3 seed and a 6 or 7 seed, that's a huge difference in terms of what your matchups are the first couple of rounds of the tournament.
What can you tell us about Texas A&M as you get ready for them on Saturday?
I think our pressures are really going to bother them. They got as good of forwards and as anybody across the country. They probably got 2 or 3 guys that might end up playing in the pros. They're big. So they are deep in their front line, and they're very talented in their front line. But the fact that their guard play is average, that for us is great to see because we got a lot of depth in our guards, and we can run a lot of guys at them with our press. So hopefully our press affects them and they can throw the ball around a little bit and have a hard time getting into their half-court offense.
And you'll have them at home tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Central Time as a tip-off, Texas A&M at West Virginia. Josh Eilert is our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar & Grill in Downs, coordinator of basketball operations and now an assistant coach on the team under Coach Huggins. And I want to ask you this because we've heard a lot of issues with Duke, with Grayson Allen, with issues on the court, tripping and so forth and so on, and going through teams' huddles. And then, of course, the most recent stuff coming out of the University of Kansas with the alleged rape that's out there, and players not being called suspects at all. I want to make that very clear. They've been listed as witnesses, and that means a whole bunch of different things when it comes to whether witnesses doesn't mean you actually witnessed the crime. You might have just happened to be there, and you ran into a person or person involved in the crime before, after it even happened. But I'm interested from your perspective, Josh, because, of course, you were in college. You know what it's like to be a student. But when you are an athlete at a university like West Virginia or Kansas or wherever, you are known across campus. You are a pretty big deal. You are a celebrity or a bit of a celebrity. And yet you are young. You're learning. You might make mistakes. You hope they're not really bad mistakes. How do you and West Virginia deal with, because you can't hold everybody's hand 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but how do you go about trying to keep players out of trouble? Now, Carlton Bragg has been suspended by Kansas, another example. How do you guys go about that?
I mean, there's only so much you can do, Wade. You try to talk to him. You try to guide him. You try to pull him aside and meet with him every day. Whenever these kids know that you're interested in their day-to-day life, not just on the court, they're more likely to come to you with the issues in their life and open up to you. So we keep an open door policy. We try to keep those guys. We tell them to come through the office every day. We want them to talk to us. And, well, that's what you're there for, to be a mentor to these guys, to help them become men and good members of society. So, I mean, that's about the furthest you can go with it. How do you stop it? You're not gonna hold their hand 24/7. Mm-hmm. But hopefully you can have an impact in their life, on a day to day basis, to where at least they're open to talk to you.
In this day of the digital age, and of course with all the different sources of social media, does that make the job even more difficult for you and coaches?
Certainly. I mean, basketball, like you said, I mean, it's different than any other sport. Those guys are the most most easily recognizable guys or faces on campus. Football guys, they will wear helmets when they play. So those guys aren't as recognizable as the basketball team. Everybody knows the basketball team. And then social media, throw that in there, and we try to tell those guys, I mean, and we monitor it. We see what those guys post. If they're posting something in the gray area, we're like, we pull them aside and say, hey, you know, come on, what are we doing here? So it's something you just got to stay on top of and be right there to put the kibosh on anything that you see is going the wrong way.
What about the strength of the conference this year? Going in, and I felt this way as well, is that it was Kansas, Baylor, and you guys were the first tier. And then I thought everybody else could be finished anywhere from fourth to probably eighth, ninth, maybe even 10th. TCU and Texas Tech look to be in improved basketball teams. Oklahoma and Texas, weird to see them at the bottom of the Big 12 standings right now. They've struggled a little bit, but still good teams. Oklahoma State 2-6, but you know, went into Lawrence and almost won. You guys saw Oklahoma in person and you lost at home to them in overtime. Just tell us about the strength of this conference, because I think going in, a lot of people thought it was going to be a down year for the Big 12.
Wait, it's crazy. I mean, if you lose a game, there's no rear view mirror. You got to move on. You can't let one loss turn to two, because, like I said, we lost two in a row, Oklahoma and Kansas State, and then we had Kansas coming in. So you got to think about the next day and move on. But you're right. The bottom of the conference, I mean, we lost to Oklahoma. We lost to, and Kansas State is not at the bottom of the conference, but they're middle of the pack. And then we lost at Texas Tech in overtime. So anybody on any given night can win those games. I don't care if it's Kansas at TCU or Kansas at Oklahoma State or us. So we've proven that, you know, if we're not ready to play and we're not up for the game and we don't bring enthusiasm, effort each and every day, anybody can beat us.
Right. How good can this West Virginia team be? Certainly after your big win over Baylor, a lot of national pundits said bona fide Final Four contender. Then you lose a couple games and people kind of jump off that wagon a little bit. But we know it's a marathon and not a sprint. How good can you guys be?
I mean, we got as good a chance as any time to, you know, make it to the Final Four and make a push for it. We got a great team. We got a great locker room. Everybody's all in. We talk about it all the time. Is everybody all in? I mean, everybody playing their role. And we have that. And a great group of guys, and that's just as important as anything. I tell you what, like I said earlier, that if you don't have the effort and energy and enthusiasm, the way we play, anybody can beat us, though, too. So you look at the way we lost in the first round of the tournament last year, and then we thought we had a special team last year, and we lost to Stephen F. Austin.
Mm-hmm.
We should have won the game. It's just the way it should have been. If we came ready to play, we should have won. And that's been our mantra this year. We lost to a game. We beat Illinois and New York pretty good, and then we came out the next night against Temple. We thought we were good. And our guys came with that mindset that they just had to show up, and they took a loss to Temple, a team that's under 500 right now. And, you know, we've got up for the big games. We've won at Virginia. We've won number one Baylor. We've beat number two Kansas. So we've got up for the big games, but can we be consistent?
Yeah.
And we talk about consistency every day with these guys. But the season is so long, so it's going to be a roller coaster. I mean, you're going to have your ups and downs, but we got to be more consistent with our approach to every game.
Josh Heilert, our guest. All right, Josh, time for a couple off-the-wall questions. You ready, man?
I'm ready.
All right. So I'm watching the game the other night on television, and your player Adrian gets a banged up ankle, and he goes to the sideline. He sits right next to you. And a lot of times bench shots, they don't usually on TV, they kind of go back and forth, but they had the camera on that bench of yours for a while the other night, and you were sitting right next to Adrian, and so I'm sure you got many people letting you know that you got a lot of FaceTime on TV, but it seemed to me that you're sporting a little bit of a different haircut or a new look. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm playing with it. I shaved my head for 14 years, and I saved myself a lot of money, to tell you the truth. So Now that I got this hair going on, I don't know what to do with it. So I just went to Sports Clips that day. So I wasn't real fond of the look I got, but it was what it was. I mean, what do? You got to rock it, right? So
yeah.
I went with it, and hopefully next time out, I'll get it right.
You know, a lot of people listening, especially guys listening right now, have got to be saying, I've got all this hair. I don't know what to do with it. And there's a lot of guys out there really jealous of you right now.
Well, maybe my dad's listening. I didn't get his head of hair, so I'm happy about that.
And finally, another off-the-wall question for you. The mannequin challenge has been a pretty big thing. In fact, I saw, I think, a Korean basketball all-star game. They stopped and did the mannequin challenge during the game. Have you guys done any kind of mannequin challenge, or what's been the challenge that you or the team has been involved in over the years you've been there that stands out to you?
I don't think we ever did one. I mean, I thought that was pretty hot for about a month, but I'm not sure that I've ever seen our guys do one.
Nobody there within the university, nobody, no coaches, no players, nobody trying it, huh?
No, maybe they did, but I never saw it, or it wasn't good enough for everybody to post. I mean, if they did it, I probably would have saw it on social media if they were proud of the one they did.
What about the ice bucket challenge? You guys do that?
Yeah, we went through that. Our staff did that.
That's cool.
Did that on the balcony on a summer day. I'm glad it was summer.
Yeah, you don't want to do that in the winter. That's really not a good idea at all. Well, you guys are off to a good start. I know I had a little hiccup there with back-to-back losses, but as you said, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You're going to have your ups and you're going to have your downs, but the important thing is to get a good seed in the tournament and peak at the right time. We certainly appreciate the time that you allowed us today to talk with you about West Virginia basketball. We're proud of you here representing North Central Kansas, and best of luck in your future endeavors. And maybe, if you're willing, maybe we can talk to you closer to the NCAA tournament time. Would that work for you?
Sure thing. Anytime, Wade.
Sounds good, man. Take care of yourself.
All right. Thanks, Wade. Take care.
That's Josh Heilert with us, assistant coach of West Virginia basketball team, being our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs.